Tov, we are midway through Perikov Gimel, and we spoke about, guys, the Mahapach, the spiritual reform, right? The spiritual reform which, the religious reform which Yoshio performs, and he tries to change everything. He tries to change everything, but obviously he's not successful ad hasof. But the description of what he does is unlike any other king in all of the times, even back to the times of Shlomo HaMelech. He destroys some of the mizbeachs, some of the mizbachos, and some of the bamos which were there from the times of Shlomo HaMelech. It was a chutzpah. There took a certain level of azus dikdusha to do what Yoshio does. I remember he was a young king, and we ended off... around Perek, around Pasek Kaf Aleph, where we reminded ourselves, this sort of brings us back to the beginning of the Sefer, is that there was a nevuah by Yeravam. When Yeravam makes that big mizbeach in Beis El, the Navi comes to him and freezes his hand, and the Navi tells him that in this place, your bones and the bones of the Kohanim, the Kohanim which you're doing this bum on, they're going to be burnt in this place. And so we see Mamish in Pasuk Kaf here, Vayizbach es kol Kohanei habamos asher sama al mizbachos vayistrof es atzmos adam aleihem vayashav Yerushalayim. So Mamish, like it says over there, back when we looked back in the beginning of Sefer Malachim by Yeravam, and actually says that there's going to be a son, a descendant from Beis David, and his name is Yoshio. And Kachava, just 200 so odd years later, Yoshio comes up and fulfills this nevuah. Does he know about this nevuah or not? That's very interesting. I'm not really sure. Okay, so we're in Perek Kaf Gimel, Pasuk Kaf Aleph. Vayitzav HaMelech es kol ha'am le'mor asu pesach la'adonai Eloheichem. Kakasuv al sefer habris hazeh. Remember, he finds a sefer Torah. He's inspired to do this religious reform. Right, he sees the tochecha. He goes to Chulda. He asks Chulda what is going to be. Chulda says, there's going to be a churban, not in your days. So Yoshio doesn't just sit by and say, okay, if the churban's not going to be in my days, so then that's it. He believes that he can change the future. And that was what we spoke about last time, is that was there a possibility for change? Yes, you know, for us, looking at the end of, we know what the end of the story is. Yoshio doesn't know what the end of the story is, and the nature of nevuah is that could change. That could change, and we spoke about the difference between Nevi'ei Emes and Nevi'ei Sheker. Okay, so Yoshio institutes, for the first time, a Pesach like it hasn't been done in such a long time. Look at the description of what Pesach was like. Although we know that Chizkio also did a Pesach, in which he invites, in the beginning of his Malchus, he invites people from the northern kingdom, from Shomron, before they go out into Galus. But it seems like over there it wasn't perfect either. Meaning not everyone came from the northern kingdom, and there were a lot of people that did the korban. They ate the korban Pesach betuma. Take a look at the description over here. Pasuk Kaf Beis, Kilonasa kapesach hazeh mimei hashoftim asher shoftu es Yisrael v'chol yemei malchei Yisrael malchei Yehuda. It sounds like this Pesach. Now in Divrei Hayamim it says Mimei Shmuel Hanavi, but clearly Pesach hasn't been done in this form, in this way, for a very, very long time. Ki im b'shmona esrei shana l'melech Yoshio naaseh Pesach hazeh l'adonai b'Yerushalayim. So the 18th year of Yoshio, this whole, they find the Sefer Torah, he makes a big Pesach. V'gam es ha'avos v'es ha'idonim v'es ha'trofim v'es ha'gilulim v'es kol ha'shikutzim. This kol shikutzim asher near uber to Yehuda Yerushalayim bi'er Yoshio l'manekimas divrei Torah k'suv mal sefer asher matzah chilkiyo akoyin beis Adonai. So this clearly once again shows us how committed he was to getting rid of this avodah zarah. Ukamo lo hayalifan of melech asher shavel Adonai bechol levavo vechol nafsho vechol meodo. There was no one like him before that did such a tshuva. Kechol Toras Moshe v'acharav lo kam kamo, and then afterwards, obviously, there was no one like him. Ach lo shav Adonai mecharon apo agadol, asher chara apo biyuda al kol hakeasim, asher hichiso menashe. But it sounds like that it's too late. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it is too late. Part of this has to do with the deep cultural change which Menashe does. Chazal tell us something else, and this is interesting, because it looks like from the Pasuk, it's as if Menashe, the Gorel from Menashe, that's it. There's no going back. As if to say, like, tshuva can't help. And Chazal are bothered by that, because ain't davar ha'omed bifnei ha'tshuva. So Chazal suggest is that it wasn't that the things that Menashe did decided that the future was going to be Churban and there was no going back. Essentially what they say is that the Midrash describes what would happen when Yoshio would send guards, security guards throughout the country to go and take away the Avodah Zarah, to go and confiscate Avodah Zarah from people's homes. He would go into private people's homes and mamish take out all of the Avodah Zarah. And the Midrash, I believe, describes that when they would open the door to go into someone's home, the place where they hid the Avodah Zarah was right behind the door, like right on the door. So when the security guards came in and they swung the door open, they looked everywhere besides for the back of the door. Now, what does it mean? Like, you don't think they figured out after a while that everyone was hiding the Avodah Zarah there? So I don't think it's pshat that that's mamish what everyone did. But what it does show is it shows a disconnect, right? It shows a disconnect between what Yoshio wanted and where the nation was actually at. And part of why the nation was at there, it's not that the Churban's happening because of Menashe. It's because of the cultural difference, the religious destruction which Menashe performs has long-term implications, right? And it shows that even though Yoshio was doing this whole thing, and there was a Pesach, never like a Pesach, and there was never a king such a tzaddik, so then why didn't things change? Because Kanireh, Am Yisrael didn't do tshuva properly. Yeah.
It never works like that the other way, though, right? Like, anytime a king's bad and builds Balmos, like, B'nai Yisrael follow him. And there's never a time where a king's bad and B'nai Yisrael, like, are still, like, upholding the Torah.
Well, it's difficult. Remember, we saw that one of the tainos which Am Yisrael had was, or one of the tainos that Hashem had against Am Yisrael was, this was by Malchus Yisrael, was that in Malchus Yisrael, you weren't able to go to the Beis HaMikdash, remember? And then, one of the last kings, what he does is he takes away that Isser, right? And that's why they're able to go up for Pesach. And what we pointed out over there is that finally, now Am Yisrael has no Teirutz. They can't blame someone else, right? So by Yehuda also, like Lechora, at this point, Menashe is no longer, right? But the policies and the culture which he brought by bringing in Ashur v'Chulu, they were long-lasting. And like we say that, you know, it's easier to take the Jews out of Gaulis than it is to take the Gaulis out of the Jews. So I think that applies to Avodah Zarah and deep cultural religious practices. It's not easy. Remember, we're talking about a span of 70 years, which people have gotten used to the way that they live. And now Yoshio comes in with his swinging his arms and stuff. That's not going to change. It's not going to change the people. Okay. Vayomer Adonai Gamas Yehuda Asir Me'al Panai Kaasher Hasirosi Es Yisrael Umaasti. The description, we're going to see this much more when we learn, say, for Yirmiyahu. The description here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates Yerushalayim. He's become disgusted by Yerushalayim. Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, all the Nevi'im speak about how Chodesh and Shabbos, Hayu Alai L'masa, like I can't take Rosh Chodesh anymore. Why can't I take Rosh Chodesh anymore? There's so many korbanos. But these korbanos are all stolen, right? And even if they aren't stolen, you're taking advantage of the poorest people, the lowest ranks in society. Because Baruch Hu doesn't want those kinds of korbanos. And so he doesn't want this Yerushalayim, right? When we get to the Churban Habayis, the Gemara has a strong lashon, which is that although Am Yisrael thought that Beis HaMikdash would never be destroyed, the Gemara describes that when Yerushalayim was destroyed, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was just Eitzim Va'avanim. It's just Eitzim Va'avanim. So what does that mean, that Chazal are just telling us that it's just Eitzim Va'avanim? It means that the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed for a very long time, even before the physical destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Already from the times of Menashe. You can't change a culture, you can't change the place just overnight. Okay, and so Akash Baruch Hu says, so just like Shomron, that's what's going to be with Yehuda. V'yaser divrei Yoshio v'chol asher asah halohem k'suvim al sefer divrei ayam l'malchei Yehuda. Now, before we see in Sefer Malachim, I want to skip over for one of the last times to divrei ayam. Divrei ayamim is obviously also coming to a close, and divrei ayamim has a description of a very very. A very, very sad moment in Jewish history, like much of Sefer Malachim. Divrei Hayamim Beis. Okay. Lamed Hey. Perek Lamed Hey. Pasuk Yotes. So someone asked yesterday, I don't remember who it was, someone asked, like, how was it possible that Yoshio did this huge religious reform? Like, didn't we say, like, the whole problem of why the Jewish people couldn't keep the religious culture out was because they were a vassal state to either Ashur or to Aram or to all these different... So we have to understand what's going on in the international play field. And we see this in some of the archaeology that we've spoken about. So some of what we're about to speak about, we could find. You can go to the Tanakh Museum and see the Yerushalayim artifacts from Nebuchadnezzar, and you could actually see some of the descriptions over there. Nebuchadnezzar originally wasn't a king; he was a general of the army, and after what we're going to see right now, he becomes king. But what is happening? So we have Ashur, which has been the strongest empire in the north, right? We have Mitzrayim in the south. We have Yehuda, which is in the middle. And then we have this budding empire, which is Bavel, okay? We have this budding empire, which is Bavel. So Ashur, as time goes on, they're losing power. They're losing power. Bavel, alongside Persia and Bavel at that point were friendly, although later on in history they become like not so friendly. So Bavel is gaining koach, and Ashur is losing ground very vastly. Ad kedei kach that the history books, Josephus speaks about this and many others, and we're going to see it right now inside the Tanakh, is that it got so bad for Ashur, it got so bad for Assyria, that they actually teamed up with Mitzrayim, okay? They have a common enemy, right? Until now, Ashur and Mitzrayim were the two powers of the world, and now Ashur is losing so badly and Mitzrayim is losing so badly, they want to be able to stifle whatever's going on in Bavel, so they get together. And they get together, and they have one of the most famous wars in history, which is called Krav Karkamish. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of it. The battle at Karkamish. Okay? Karkamish is... Whatever. If this is boring, it doesn't really matter. Because without this, you can't really understand what's going on. The battle of Karkamish was... whatever. If I had a map, like I'd be able to describe it better. Okay, guys? Okay, we'll just do a map real quick just so you guys could, like... You could sort of understand what's going on. Okay? Let's say Eretz Yisrael is here. Okay? Ashur is like here. We have Mitzrayim down here. And then Bavel is like here, okay? There's Nineveh. I think it's Nineveh. We have Nineveh. We have Haran, okay? And Karkamish is over here. What else is over here? Karkamish is on this side of the... What is this?
Euphrates
River. Okay? Now the Euphrates River is, whoever controls the Euphrates River controls the economy, controls everything. Okay? So Carchemish is on this side of the Euphrates, and it also separates between Ashur, right? It separates between Ashur, Mitzrayim, Yehuda, and Bavel. Okay, so Bavel originally starts further towards Nineveh. They capture Nineveh, they capture Haran, and they're at this area of Carchemish. So this was going to decide who is going to be the next empire. Okay? So that's what we know is going on. And therefore, according to this, we can understand how is it that Yoshiyahu is able to do this whole religious reform. There's no way that he could build up the Beis HaMikdash and start ridding Avodah Zarah if he's still a vassal state towards Ashur, right? Ashur has much bigger problems than Yehuda, right? So he's able to essentially, in this kufa of Yoshiyahu, the 10, 20 years, whatever he has, he's pretty independent. So that's why he's able to be able to do this. And now let's take a look at this krav on Carchemish. Take a look. Huh? In Divrei Hayamim, Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Yutes. No. Pasuk Kaf. Okay? Achrei Kol Zos. So this is after the 18th year. Now it's unclear exactly. In the history books, we have a number around the year 605 or 609. We have three descriptions of this battle. One in Divrei Hayamim, one in Malachim, and one in Yirmiyahu. You like this? This is the history stuff. It's for you, Ben. Okay. So take a look. Achrei Kol Zos. Asher hichin Yoshio es habayis. Allah necho melech Mitzrayim lihilachem bekar kamish al pras vayitzei likraso Yoshio. Okay, so let's understand what's going on. Necho, who is towards the end of the Egyptian empire that we know of, okay, they used to be called Paro. Okay, at some time period they stopped calling themselves Paro and they call themselves Necho. Okay, so Necho is coming to fight in Carchemish because that's where the battle is. So where does he have to go through? He has to go through Eretz Yisrael. So he's coming up from Mitzrayim, and he goes what is called the Derech HaMelech, above the mountains. I'm sure Waxman has spoken to you guys about this, in Beit El, part of Derech HaMelech. He goes up, okay, and they meet over here. Now, why? Who meets over here? Yoshio and Paro Necho, okay? They meet over here. Now, Mitzrayim doesn't want to do anything to Yehuda. They have much bigger problems. They're on their way to the largest war in history, right? They're on their way to Carchemish, right? So that's what the Pasuk is describing over here, is that Paro Necho, Necho Melech Mitzrayim comes up to fight Carchemish al Pras on the Euphrates, and Yoshio comes out towards him. Vayishlach alav malachim lemor. And the king says, Ma li v'lach melech Yehuda, lo alecha ata hayom, ki el beis milchamti ve'elohim amar la'av leheni, chadalach me'elohim asher imi va'al yashchisecha. Necho's a really nice guy. And he says, listen, I really have no issue with you. You really don't want to have an issue with me. I'm going to fight a much bigger battle. I have bigger battles to fight. I don't need... And don't bother, meaning like I'll destroy you, like in a second. Please don't, just let us go. V'lo hesev Yoshio panav mimeno, ki li lachem bo hitchapes, v'lo shamal divrei necho mipi Elohim, v'yavo li lachem bebikat Megiddo. Okay, the Valley of Megiddo. This is also a very, very famous battle. Okay, this is the battle of in the Valley of Megiddo. Megiddo is in the same area of Emek Yisrael. Remember, in Sefer Shoftim and Sefer Shmuel, we spoke about how this valley is, it's essentially all the way around mountains up north, and it's a flat land, it's a plain lands, okay? It's very important for economy, v'chulu, but that's also where many wars happen. So also, the Valley of Megiddo is where Yoshio comes out. Now, why is Yoshio so makpid? Why does he want to go and fight up against Necho? Anyone have any ideas? This doesn't make sense. Like, just live and let live. You know, like, I mean, like, what's the problem? So the pasuk says, the pasuk says in the Torah, "Cherev lo ta'avor ba'artzecha," that a foreign empire should not come and walk through your country. Now, Bipashtus, what the Pasuk is talking about, is that Am Yisrael should be protective of their borders, and if someone is coming to fight against you, you defend yourself. Okay, Yoshio, the Gemara says, he darshined that he was machmir about this Pasuk. He says, Cherev lo ta'avor ba'artzecha, afilu cherev shel shalom. Right? Necho is saying, like, I don't have any issue with you. I'm going to fight a bigger battle. And Kanirat, once again, I don't want to say something that wasn't, but is it possible that Yoshio is like, he's like in this place where everything's going well, right? He's changing, he seems to be thinking that he's changing the world. He's changing Yehuda. They have independence from Ashur. And now, Paranacho is coming through with his entire army, and he thinks that maybe it's time for us to defend ourselves. Maybe it's time for our miracle. Maybe this is our time to speak. And in here, Kanira, it was difficult. Meaning, and also it's interesting that he doesn't go, he doesn't ask the Navi. So this is clearly something that he does on his own. Either way, they're terribly destroyed. Vayoru hayorim lamelech Yoshio, vayomer hamelech lavadav habiruni, so he gets shot and tells his servants to move him. Yoshio, Am Yisrael, thought that Yoshio was really Mashiach. So we know in Eicha, I'm sure you guys are familiar, there's a pasuk that says Mashiach Hashem, right? Nilkadah Mashiach Hashem. So many of the Mefarshim understand that kinnah was actually written about Yoshio, right? It was a kinnah which was leading up to the Churban, because Yoshio was the last hope, right? For Am Yisrael, they thought that maybe the Churban could be avoided. And so when Yoshio is killed by Paranecho, like, this is the end. This is the end. This is the beginning of the end. They just know that there's no more hope, right? And that's why the psukim describe over here. Vayikonein Yirmiyo al Yoshio, vayomru kol asarim vasaros bikinoseyem al Yoshio, ad hayom vaytnu lechok al Yisrael, vinam ksuvim al hakinos. Al hakinos. So this is maybe one of the areas in which there's two places throughout the Tanakh which seem to hint to the concept of Megillas Eicha, and this is one of the places. This Sefer Kinos. V'yaser divrei Yoshio v'chasadav kakasuv b'soras Adonai u'dvarav harishon v'achronam hinam k'suvim al Sefer Malchei Yisrael v'Yehuda. So we have obviously a similar description here in Sefer Malachim. The one in Divrei Yamim is a little bit more. There's more pratim. There's more details. But if we look at Sefer Malachim, let's take a look. Let's go back to Malachim Perek Kaf Gimel. Okay, Pasuk Lamed. Verkivu avadav meis mimigido v'yivieu Yerushalayim. Now the description over here is a little bit different. It sounds like over here that he was killed in Megiddo and brought to Yerushalayim dead. In Divrei Hayamim, it sounds like he died in Yerushalayim. Either way, v'yikivu avadav meis mimigido v'yivieu Yerushalayim v'yikberu b'kvuraso v'yikach amaretz es Yehoahaz ben Yoshio v'yimshichu oso v'yamlichu oso tachas aviv. So what's the question that you guys need to be asking? For those who are need chizuk, let's find chizuk. Okay? So they take Yoachaz. Yoachaz is one of the sons of Yoshio. And what do? They make him king. Right? But it says, Vayim Shechu Oso. Right? Don't we know that a king, a melech ben melech, does not need Meshicha? And the only times throughout Sefer Malachim that we did see that there was Mashiach, why was there Mashiach? Because it was a statement, because there was a machlokas. By Shlomo HaMelech we saw it. By Yoash we saw it. By all of the times in which there was controversy, there was a Mashiach. So what is the controversy over here? So Chazal tell us, and we're going to see this later on, is that Yoachaz is not the oldest, he's not the Bechor. So the question is, why does he become king? Now we could also understand the Lashon over here. It's a weird Lashon. It says, Vayikach ama'aretz es Yoachaz ben Yoshio, vayimshichu oso vayamlichu oso tachas aviv. Meaning, like, usually when a king takes over, the description is what? Is that he, you know, the father passes away and he takes over. But over here, there's like an additional, like, the Ama Aretz is involved in it, right? The people are involved in it, and there needs to be Meshicha. So, the Parashas, the reason why is because he's younger than his older brother. He's not the Bechor. Then, 23 shana Yoachaz b'malcho, u'shlosha chodeshim alach b'Yerushalayim. He's only king for 3 months. Why? V'shem imo chamutal bas Yirmiyahu milivna, not our Yirmiyah. V'yas hara b'nei Adonai kechol asher asu avosav. I don't know how bad he can do in 3 months, but he kanira was not a good guy. V'yasreyu paro necho b'rivla b'eretz chamas mimloch b'Yerushalayim v'yitein onesh al haaretz mea kikar kesef v'kikar zahav. So Paro Necho, Kanira, now this is where things get a little bit confusing historically, and honestly, I'm not really sure what the answer is, but we're gonna try to figure it out. Paro Necho comes back down from Mitzrayim, Kanira, to somehow regain his koach, maybe to go and fill up on supplies. Remember, traveling to a long place, the Battle of Karkamish took a very long time. So he comes down, and he sees that Yoachaz is king. Now, what does he do? He takes Yoachaz and he takes him down from being king. And he appoints one of the other brothers. Why does he appoint another brother? Kanira, Yoachaz did not have good relations, international relations with the he wasn't pro-Mitzri, he was pro-Bavli. And we'll see some possible hints to that maybe later. And so he makes now Malchus Yehuda a vassal state towards Mitzrayim, and he lays a huge tax on them. Vayamlech paro necho es Eliakim ben Yoshio tachas Yoshio aviv. So now paro necho makes Eliakim, the son of Yoshio, he makes him king. Vayasev eshmo Yehoyakim. And he changes his name. Why does he change his name, guys? Why do you think? To show I'm in charge. I don't care what your name is. Your name is Eliakim, Yehoyakim. I'm in charge. It's like, you always had that teacher that couldn't pronounce your name, right? He couldn't pronounce your name. So he said, like, you know, like Tons, we were speaking about this, right? Okay. So it also shows like a sense of power. V'siyoachaz lakach v'yavo Mitzrayim v'yamasham. So 3 months. He dies. V'akesev ha'zahav nasan liyoyakim l'paro ha'cheirich sa'aretz l'seis ha'kesev al pi paro ish ke'erko nagas es ha'kesev ha'zahav es am ha'aretz l'seis l'paro necho. Things are starting to turn way too fast. Ben 25 shana liyoyakim b'malcho ve'echad esrei shana malach b'Yerushalayim v'shem imoz vida bas p'daya min ruma. Guys, anyone who's out of it for the next 2 minutes, be alive, okay? How do I know from Pasuk Lamed Vav that Yoachaz was younger? The first son was not the Bechor? Because he was 25 and the other guy was 23. And how long was he king for? Only 3 months. So he's clearly not the Bechor. Okay? Either way, Paro makes a power statement and he makes Yoachaz king. Vayas ha-rabbe inei Adonai kechol asher asu avusav Yehoyakim, or Eliakim, what his original name was, also was a Melech Rasha. I just want to show you guys one more thing. I told you guys about the Krav al Karkamish. Take a look at Yirmiyahu. Okay? Take a look at Yirmiyahu. Perek Mem Vav. So Yirmiyahu actually describes this war of Karkamish. You guys should look it up after. It's pretty amazing. Asher hayad var Adonai el Yirmiyahu anavi al agoyim. L'mitzrayim al chel paro necho melech mitzrayim. He calls out, paro necho melech mitzrayim. Asher hayal nar pras bikar kamish. Asher hikan nevuchad netzar melech bavel bishnas harivis liyoyakim ben yoshiyahu melech Yehuda. What's the problem here, guys? What's the problem? Wasn't Yoshio around when the Krav al Karkamish happened? Mm-hmm. Right? Meaning the on the way to the Krav of Karkamish, Yoshio is killed. So what, it takes 4 years for Yirmiyahu to say this nevuah about the Krav al Karkamish? So it's actually interesting. If you look in the history books, the Krav al Megiddo, even the historians Josephus understands that from the point of Megiddo until the real Krav al Karkamish, it really took a long time. Wars back then really took a very long time. There were usually sieges. There were, you know, they surrounded the walls of Karkamish, and it took a very, very long time. What ended up happening out in Karkamish, and why do I keep on talking about Karkamish? It's not because, like, I'm a history, guy or whatever it is. Karkamish is so important is because Nebuchadnezzar destroys. He's the general of the Babylonian army, and he totally decimates the entire Egyptian and Assyrian army. From that point on, we're going to see that he's going to come straight for Yehuda. He's going to come straight for Yehuda. So the Krav al Karkamish, which we're talking about, is very significant in the development of the Churban. All right, we'll pick this up in Mirat Hashem on Thursday. Okay? Shkorach, guys.